Blog Talk Radio.
The method did repeat. Waters came right to your knee. Before you the joke, groins. Waters came to your loins. A thousand measures and the last. A river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of your fists left to swim. There was meat from the trees. Nourished the box from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters flow. On top of sanctuary, my heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul until we make it home. Foolishness is forever gone. Got spirit resting on my bones. Brothers and sisters, you with me. Let's hurt us up really quickly. Make us so solid to 50. So, we home.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before you another day to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even words of truth. My name is Moray Ishai Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And again, I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to come before you, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words. This week, we have been dealing with the last day prophecy. And not just any last day prophecy, but the last day prophecy that the Creator will have you and I to concern ourselves with. There's no reason, there's no sense, and there's no wisdom in dealing with things that's not even in the book, as many other various preachers, ministers, and rabbis, bishops, so-called reverends, will have you to believe. And none of them are telling you about the plight of our people and how Yahweh would deal with our people in the last days. As a matter of fact, many Israelites will even tell you what will befall our people in the last days. They will tell you about Deuteronomy 28, but that's where it ends. This is where it stops. But no, there are prophecies. Want you to be prepared to not only look for and seek, prepared to know about, but also prepared for him. And how do you prepare for Yahweh? Well, the first thing you must possess to prepare yourself for Yahweh is the knowledge of Elohim. And let me show you what Yahweh said. According to the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse. Surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And Yahweh emphatically lets us know that he's not going to do anything. And how many people are telling you this? How many people are teaching you this? That Yahweh will do absolutely nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets. And if this be true, then what prophecies should you be hearing about? The very first prophecy we brought to our listening audience, to our people, is the very first prophecy in the scriptures. Little do people know, they didn't even know this was the first prophecy. And let us read about it in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. In the book of Genesis 15, the 13th verse.
And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not there.
And watch how this reads. It says know for certain. What do that mean? That means know for a fact. Know for truth. Know absolutely that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And are we in a land that is not ours? Sure we are.
And they shall serve them.
And it says it shall serve them who? The people whose land that now that you have become a stranger, you will serve the various occupiers of that land.
And they shall afflict them.
And this is the part that nobody wants to talk about. No wonder they don't talk about this prophecy. Because it says, and they shall afflict them. Who? The people of the land. And they shall afflict them, but how long?
400 years.
And as we've been bringing to our people, this is the very first prophecy in the scriptures. This is the very first prophecy that came to a man named Abram, who was called the very first prophet in the scriptures. In other words, the word prophet for the first time was used in connection with him. That's what he was called, a prophet. This is the first man in the scriptures where a vision and a dream was brought to him by the Most High himself. And not only that, this is the very first time where the word of Yahweh, in that fourth verse, read that fourth verse.
And behold, the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying.
In other words, this is the very first time you would even read where the word of Yahweh came to anybody in the scriptures. So it's not surprising that it came to the very first person that's called a prophet. The very first person that had a vision and a dream that came from Yahweh. The very first prophecy that's spoken of in the scriptures. And this prophecy is speaking about you and I. And we brought to your attention that these things will be recorded in heaven and in earth. And it has been. The heaven recorded this. That's why we're able to read it. But so has the earth. Here it is in America, Ghana, what other place? Jamaica. All these various places, countries, has records detailing the 400-year enslavement, captivity of our people. And they all commemorating this captive state of condition at the same time, the same year, on the same date. And then not commemorating 500 years, 600 years, 2,000 years, 1,500 years, as many people want you to believe that we've been over here for 500, 600, 700 years. No, they're commemorating 400. As Yahweh said, will be done according to his word, that these things would be recorded. And this is the very first prophecy that we brought to your attention that our people should be concerning themselves about. What do that mean? You should be looking at these various dates and times to see what Yahweh will have us to do. Our people could be in a state of emergency. In other words, if you was getting out of jail, wouldn't that date matter to you? If you was about to celebrate the Passover, the Almighty told us we were to celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread from year to year. Why? To commemorate how he delivered us from bondage. And the date that he delivered us is the date he told us to remember. But here, we had like the date that our people came over here butt naked on slave ships don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing at all. And it has nothing to do with Yahweh when Yahweh says this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the 68th verse. Let us turn there. You mean the date that our people came to the shores don't mean nothing to Israel? We know it don't mean too much to our enemies, even though they the ones commemorating it. Not because they want to, but because of Yahweh. And watch what it says, the 68th verse.
Yahweh shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spoke unto thee.
Yeah, he's going to bring you into bondage again with ships. Where did that happen at? When did that happen? How long ago did that happen?
Thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women. And no man shall buy you.
And no man shall buy you out of this condition. Because this came from Yahweh. The second prophecy that we brought to our people, that was number one. So yes, our mind, our spirit, our soul, we're watching. We're watching this 400-year end. Do Yahweh want us to watch it? Watch what Yahweh says in the book of Deuteronomy 32. And let's see how Yahweh see this thing. Since we're talking about last day prophecies, and since we're talking about our latter end. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 26.
I said I would scatter them into corners.
That's where we at, all over the earth, four corners of the earth.
I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men.
Yeah, that's why you don't hear people talking about Yisrael.
Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and Yahweh hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this.
And what do Yahweh want them to understand?
That they would consider their latter end.
Yeah, Yahweh always wants you to consider your latter end because he said the end is better than the beginning. The end is better than the beginning. And we're looking at the end like it has no end. It has no date. It has no end time. We would rather say nobody knows the end time. Well, how can you prepare for the end time? How can you even consider your end time and you don't know the end? That's like having a day with no end and then when you going to stop? When you going to rest? When you going to cease? When you going to prepare yourself to bring something to an end? What do you think the Saturday is? It's the end of the week. But yet, we have no end of our suffering, of our affliction, of our bondage. Even according to Yahweh laws, a servant is supposed to serve 6 years and be free 7 years. Even according to Yahweh laws, 49 years, our families supposed to be freed in the 50 years after working for somebody 49. To Yahweh, things come to an end. And we're talking about our latter end, our 400-year end. A prophecy number two. Yahweh said, make no mistake about it. He will deliver his people as he has promised. But it's not going to be for the reason you think. It's not for the reason that the mass majority of our people think. Yahweh knows exactly why he will do what he will do. And you'll read it in the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. We're talking about the last day prophecies. This is prophecy number two. Because once your sentence comes to an end, you will be delivered. But how? For what purpose? What does it mean? In the book of Ezekiel 36, watch what it says. So this is prophecy number two. So you can have the expectations of the knowledge that you need to prepare yourself before Yahweh. In Ezekiel 36, the 19th verse, or it starts at the 16th verse.
Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doing.
Just like we're doing today. We under the impression that we don't have to keep no laws. And so what really you're saying that we continue to do what got us kicked out of the land, and that we are defiling things by our own way and by our own doing.
Their way was before me as the uncleanliness of a removed woman.
So you know how your ways are.
Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, for their idols, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen.
That's where we at today, among the heathen. And I told the heathen, don't get mad because you're called a heathen. That's what Yahweh called you.
And they were dispersed through the countries.
And where they went.
According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name.
See what Yahweh said? See, Yahweh still had the expectations of us doing the right thing. When you go to jail, you don't supposed to stay a fool. You're supposed to start acting right and humble yourself and realize you messed up. And you're supposed to change. But no, when we entered to the heathen, where they went, we profaned his holy name.
And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of Yahweh.
These are the people of Yahweh that's doing this? These are the people of Yahweh that dress and sound like this? These are the people of Yahweh that's acting all kind of foolishly?
And are going forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I did not this for thy sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake.
Don't think I'm saving you, O house of Israel, for your sakes, or for anything in you. No, I'm not doing that. I have pity for my holy name's sake. It's not for your sake, but for my holy name's sake. Go ahead.
Which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen.
And Yahweh said he's going to sanctify his great name in which we profane. This is prophecy. This must take place. This must come to pass, and it's not going to come to pass until the end of our captivity. And Yahweh will sanctify his great name, because once we come to an end, now Yahweh will do what he said he would do. And now he said he will make the crooked things straight, and he will magnify his law and honorable. And one of the most crooked things that has been done, we have profaned his holy name. 23rd verse again.
And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes.
So Yahweh is making it crystal clear that he's going to be sanctify us, not for our sakes, but for his holy name's sake. And how will he do it? How will he sanctify himself in us? The 24th verse.
For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your land.
Yeah, that's what Yahweh's going to do. He's going to take us from among the heathens, out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. That's what Yahweh's going to do. But who is preparing themselves for Yahweh in the return back to him? And you're going to see by the time we finish these prophecies what one must do to be a recipient of this great blessing of Yahweh. See, there are people that talk about the remnant, but what are the instructions that one must do to be a part of the remnant? And if you don't know the prophecies that must happen, that must take place, then how can you know the instructions that you must fulfill in order for you to be a part of a remnant? And we're going to talk to you, and we're going to tell you. Still, prophecy number two. Yahweh will sanctify his great name, because this is part of the judgment that Yahweh has let us know he will do. Little do people know, Yahweh, he's not returning with peace. He's returning with his fury, with his anger. How will you be prepared for that? Look what it says in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. And right before we go to Jeremiah 23, because I want to read it. No, just go to Jeremiah 23 first, and then I'll show you that Yahweh has already let us know that there's seven different things that he will do. But watch what Jeremiah 23 says. Sixth verse.
Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of Yahweh.
Yeah, tell them to show you out of the book what Yahweh said. Tell them to show you out of the mouth of Yahweh.
They say still unto them that despise me, Yahweh has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who have stood in the counsel of Yahweh, and have perceived and heard his word, who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of Yahweh is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh shall not return until it have executed, until it have he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly.
Yeah, in the last days, that's when you really going to begin to consider the great anger and fury of Yahweh. And I only can pray that you don't consider it too late. I pray that you don't wait until the whirlwind of Yahweh is here. And look how Yahweh, look what Yahweh will do. And look how Yahweh works. Look at how he performed the thing he would do. When he returned. When he's on the scene. In the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, watch what it says. These things your enemies will not teach you. They can't teach you. It won't teach you. 27 verse or 26 verse.
Deuteronomy 4 verse 26.
Yes.
I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day.
Yeah, there's a witness against us this day.
That ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed.
And we reading it, but we know it's true. We hear, as Yahweh has said, out of our land, totally and utterly destroy people. And watch what it says.
And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations.
And we are.
And ye shall be a few in number among the heathen.
And we are.
Whither Yahweh shall lead you. And there ye shall serve deities, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell.
And that's exactly what our people are doing today in the masses, in the majority.
But if from thence thou shalt seek Yahweh thy Elohim.
And you have an opportunity, because what Yahweh has proposed to bring upon our people, they're not going to have no choice to seek Yahweh. But if from thence you seek Yahweh
thy Elohim, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation.
That means when you're in trouble.
And all these things will come upon thee, even in the latter days.
Even in the last days of your captivity. In the last days of which and where you have been scattered. In the last days in which, in the place where you were utterly destroyed.
If thou turn to Yahweh thy Elohim, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For Yahweh thy Elohim is a merciful Elohim. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that Elohim created man upon earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there have been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live?
No, this has never happened to a people ever in the annals of history, except for the children of Israel. And how did Yahweh deliver them? And you want to pay close attention to this, because how do you think Yahweh would deliver our people? For some strange, twisted reason, our people think we just need to take up arms. This is total asinine. Watch what Yahweh said he did in the past. 34th verse.
Or hath Elohim attempted to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptation?
By temptation.
By signs.
By signs.
And by wonders.
By wonders, number three.
And by war.
Number four.
And by a mighty hand.
Number five.
And by a stretched out arm.
Number six.
And by great terrors.
And number seven.
According to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes.
And look here, that was just in Egypt. Our people scattered all over the earth, to the four corners of the earth. And you're going to see great temptations and signs and wonders, war, mighty hand, a stretched out arm, and great terrors. And none of these seven things has anything to do with an Israelite picking up not one weapon. These are the weapons of Yahweh, and not weapons of war of man. So therefore, make no mistake about it, Yahweh will sanctify his great name, which is number two in the last scripture on that, in the book of Ezekiel 39. First verse.
And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, in my hand that I have laid upon you. So the house of Israel shall know that I am Yahweh their Elohim from that day forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity.
Yeah, they went into captivity for their iniquity.
Because they trespassed against me.
And we trespassed against the Most High.
Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them to the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword.
Yeah, Yahweh did this. And Yahweh want our enemies to know this was done because of him.
According to their uncleanliness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them.
Why you think we came to the worst of the heathen? Because Yahweh said according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done to them. And nobody experienced the type of slavery our people have experienced here in America. And why? Because we were the worst. We sinned the worst. We was as wicked as they come. So don't be pounding on your chest and patting yourself on the back because you might be a Yehuda Knight and you're going to be saved first. It ain't because of you. It ain't because some great tribe you come from. No. This is only done because of the pity that Yahweh hid on his holy namesake. And not just the pity, because watch what it says.
Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim, now will I bring again the captivity of Yaakov and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name.
Yahweh said he's jealous for his holy name's sake.
After that, they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me. And they have dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them from out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am Yahweh their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there.
Yeah, he's taking us all out. Ain't no mistake about it. Every one of us is coming out of this land, but only a remnant is going to the Holy Land. And we're going to bring that to you because that's also one of the prophecies that we got to talk about. At the end of 29th verse.
Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim.
So we see prophecy number 2. Yahweh will sanctify himself and his people. But what about prophecy number 3 that we should concern ourselves with? Now that we're considering our 400-year end, our latter end, now that we're considering, it's not because we've been in jail for 400 years. It's not because we've been mistreated, mistaught, abused, oppressed. No. It's only because Yahweh will have pity on his holy namesake, which is prophecy number 2. and Yahweh will sanctify his great name. But now that we have prophecy number 3, and little do people know who is Israel. A people led to the slaughter. And why are they a people led to the slaughter? Why are they considered lambs led to the slaughter? And where is their leader? Their king, their ruler, their guide. Where is the one that will go before them as the other nations? Well, has somebody that will speak one voice for them? Who is speaking and representing Israel? Well, Yahweh has chosen one to do just that, which is prophecy number 3. The servant of Yahweh. The servant that Yahweh himself will raise up. And why? Because once Yahweh looked down upon his people, he seen no shepherd that will bring his flock to him. So this is what Yahweh has proposed to do. And watch what it says in the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. And you're going to see, unlike many people will tell you, this shepherd is not going to be in America. This shepherd is not going to be somewhere where he'd be in the midst of his people. He'd be somewhere in Jerusalem. Well, I'm here to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is not the truth, nor is it the word of Yahweh. Watch what Yahweh say will happen even in the last days. The last days of what? Our captivity. Watch what it says. Ezekiel 34. And we're going to start reading at the 20th verse.
Therefore saith Yahweh Elohim unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns. So ye have scattered them abroad.
Talking about the various false shepherds. This whole chapter is prophesying against the shepherds of Israel. And watch what it says.
Therefore will I save my flock.
Watch what Yahweh said. He said he's going to save his flock because they scattered all over the place. Well, what is the timetable? Well, 400 years. How would you do it? Well, I'm going to judge the people and sanctify my great name in them. And then watch how Yahweh said he was going to save his flock.
And they shall no more be a prey. I will judge between cattle and cattle.
Because people got to be judged. Even the cattle itself must be judged.
and I will set up one shepherd over them.
How are you going to have a flock with no shepherd?
And he shall feed them.
And how can the flock eat with no shepherd? How can the flock even gather themselves together with no shepherd? We expect to be gathered together, and there's no shepherd.
Even my servant David.
Oh, see, Yahweh didn't even leave it to chance. He let you know the name of this shepherd.
He shall feed
Who
them.
Shall feed them? David.
And he shall be their shepherd.
Who shall be their shepherd? His servant David.
And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
And my servant David, a prince among them. I, Yahweh, have spoken it.
I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Why would anybody prophesy anything different what Yahweh has spoken? Yahweh spoke this. Now, what sense does it make to have the flock scattered all over the earth and there is no shepherd to gather them? And the flock's supposed to gather themselves together like some zombies. No, the reason they're not gathered together, because Yahweh's shepherd is waiting to be commanded to gather the shepherds, the flock, together. And when do you think the flock is going to be gathered together? When? It's time for the people to be delivered. And watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. The fourth verse.
And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. Thus saith Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Act ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness.
Now you see this. You see how Yahweh has let it be known that he see every man with his hands on his loin as a woman in labor. And see, a woman in labor, labor pains don't come to the end. Labor pains come when it's time to bring forth. Labor pain is when now it's time for you to get your blessings. Yes, it is painful. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's scary. But it's time to be delivered. And this is how Yahweh sees his flock. It's time to be delivered. And Yahweh has his vision of Abraham that marks the time. How are you going to have a vision with no time? Then Yahweh will have his way where his great name is once again sanctified in the earth. Through his servant. And now Yahweh will send his one shepherd to deliver his baby, which is his people, which is his flock. Watch what it says.
Alas, for that day is great. So that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh the Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them.
Yeah, because David is not just a shepherd. He will also be their king. And once Yahweh breaks our bonds and break the shackles off our neck, we're only going to serve him and David our king, whom Yahweh said he will raise up unto them, because Yahweh has never, ever delivered our people from anywhere without sending a shepherd, without sending a deliverer, without sending a servant of his who will conquer our enemies. That has never, ever happened. How do you think our people got out of Babylon after serving our enemies for 70 years? Yahweh sent Cyrus, his servant, to declare and to write and to proclaim our freedom. And everywhere we look, Yahweh will send someone. Watch what it says in the book of Judges, the second chapter. There's never been a time where our people were led and delivered without one of Yahweh's servants. And the only servant that Yahweh called his shepherd in the last days, because he only said I want one shepherd, so nobody can get confused about who the shepherd is going to be. That shepherd is going to gather his flock. Yahweh said it was David. David will be that shepherd. But watch this in the book of Judges, the second chapter. The 8th verse.
And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not Yahweh, nor yet the works which he had done for Yisrael.
Just like today. But continue reading.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and served the deity. And they forsook Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed the deities of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked Yahweh to anger. And they forsook Yahweh, served the deity and the other deity. And the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of Yahweh was against them for evil, as Yahweh had said, and as Yahweh had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, Yahweh raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them.
See, Yahweh will always raise up a judge, raise up one of his servants, raise up one of his saviors to deliver them out of the hand of those who spoiled them. And watch what it says.
And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but went a whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of Yahweh, but they did not so. And when Yahweh raised them up judges, then Yahweh was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies, all the days of the judge. For it repented Yahweh because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way.
And this is the essence of our people. Our people are like lambs, but they can't do good and they can't do right by themselves. They need a shepherd. And Yahweh gave them a shepherd, a man after his own heart. Because when Yahweh raised up a judge to deliver them, Yahweh is with the judge. And our people today need a shepherd. And why? Because they need to be gathered together. Our people are the only people on this earth that need to be delivered, that need divine intervention. And Yahweh is letting you know this is the divine intervention that he has proposed and that he has prophesied. And watch what he says in the book of Hosea, the third chapter. How can our people even think about being delivered without a shepherd, a leader, a commander? In the book of Hosea, the third chapter, the fourth verse.
For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim.
In other words, no direction at all. Nobody that can divinely intervene. Why? Because there's no teraphim. Why? Because there's no ephod. Do you know what an ephod and a teraphim is? Without a sacrifice, you know what that is? Without a king, without a prince, without an image, no wonder we are a dead people without direction, without unity. But watch what Yahweh said he would do in the fifth verse.
Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, and shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days.
This is what will happen in the latter days. And what are the latter days? The latter days are the last days. Who are we going to return to? The children of Israel will return. Where? To Yahweh. And we will seek him, Yahweh their Elohim, and David their king. Why? How are you going to do something without somebody leading you, guiding you, feeding you, without a shepherd. And yet you are part of a flock. Watch what it says in the book of Isaiah 55. This is the, we're talking about the last day prophecies. And in particular, the third prophecy that you should be considering and concerning yourself with. Any other things is irrelevant. We gave you number one, the 400-year vision. We gave you number two, how Yahweh will pity his holy namesake. And then number three, the one that will execute your deliverance, Yahweh servant, Yahweh shepherd, the only and one shepherd that he mentioned by name. In the book of Isaiah 55 and 3,
incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
And why the sure mercies of David? Because just like Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he also made a covenant with David. And it's called the sure mercies of David. And the same covenant that he made with David to have mercy upon his descendants, his seed, and those that will be on his throne, that same covenant he will make with his people. That he won't destroy us, that he won't cast us off. He will punish us with the rod. He will get us with the stripes. But his everlasting mercy and goodness will not take from us. And watch what he says in the fourth verse.
Behold, I have given him for
who is
a witness.
Him? Who is him? David.
I have given him for a witness of the people.
I have given him for a witness to the people. And a witness is somebody that you can say he said he was going to do. This is the witness that what Yahweh says is true. And he's not just a witness, but what?
A leader, and commander to the people.
And our people don't need a leader. Our people don't need a commander. Our people don't need a witness. We need these things more than anybody. We are the ones that are waiting for deliverance. We are the ones that's waiting for divine intervention. And this is how Yahweh will do it. And this is how Yahweh or what Yahweh has prophesied. And a lot of people, they don't know how this will happen because they don't know Yahweh. Just want to share this little testimony in the book of Judges, the sixth chapter. Because a lot of our people, they don't know what they're looking at and looking for. See, if you're seeking David, Yahweh said, if you seek me, you shall find me. And our people are not seeking the very thing that Yahweh said you must seek. And so therefore our people, Many of them, they not seeking nothing. And then those that are seeking, are you seeking the knowledge that you must have so that you can see how Yahweh would do things? Watch this in the book of Judges, the 6th chapter, because I just want you to see something. And start reading at the 11th verse.
And there came an angel of Yahweh and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him and said unto him, Yahweh is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
Yeah, an angel showed up to Gideon. And watch what he proposed to let him know.
And Gideon said unto him, O my master, if Yahweh be with us, why then is all this befallen us?
In other words, that's a very reasonable question. If Yahweh be with us, then why is all this destruction and calamity and adversity happening to us? See, a lot of people, they get adversity twisted. They think all this adversity means Yahweh is not with you. And of course, this is what he's asking.
And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying?
In other words, where's all those great miracles that our fathers told us about? It's been handed down to generation and generation. Where are they? I ain't seen no miracles. And it sure don't feel like Yahweh is with us.
Did not Yahweh bring us up from Egypt? But now Yahweh hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.
And here it is. He talked plain to the angel. Here it is. We in America, we think it's somebody else's fault. A lot of people think it's our father's fault. No, this is our fault. And watch what it says.
And Yahweh looked upon him and said, Go in this thy night, thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?
And Yahweh is not going to deliver his people without sending them a deliverer, without sending them a shepherd, without sending them one of his servants that will bring them out of the trouble of the spoiler. Continue reading.
And he said unto him, O master, wherewith shall I save Israel?
Yeah, because you can't see past yourself. Most people can't. And he's asking, how and with what shall I save Israel? I don't have nothing.
Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh.
I'm the poorest in my whole tribe.
And I am the least in my father's house.
And then amongst my father's house, I'm the worst. I'm the poorest. I'm the least. I don't have nothing. If I compare myself to my own family, I'm the least. If I compare myself in my own tribe, I'm definitely the least and have nothing. So how can I save our people?
And Yahweh said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man.
In other words, there's nothing apart for Yahweh. Today we look true servants of Yahweh. They look at themselves as nothing, nothing that can do great and mighty things. And in truth, you can't, except Yahweh be with you. And you got to know, when Yahweh is with you, who can be against you? And Yahweh will than a shepherd, a deliverer, a savior, to deliver our people out of captivity. There's never been a time where our people has been in the hand of their spoilers, and Yahweh did not send one of his servants. And there's only one shepherd that Yahweh spoke of in the last days that would deliver. And shepherd his people. And his name is David. And while you're looking for him, Yahweh do not see as man sees. And let me show you in the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, second verse.
And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And Yahweh said, "Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to Yahweh. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which Yahweh spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. And I am come to sacrifice unto Yah. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked out on Eliab, and said, "Surely Yahweh's anointed is before him." Yahweh said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance."
As many of our people do, look not on his countenance.
Or on the height of his stature.
Don't look at the height of his stature.
Because I have refused
him.
Yeah,
he's not going to look nothing like you think.
For Yahweh seeth not as man sees.
He don't see as man sees.
For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh on the heart.
See, Yahweh looks on the heart. And this is what you got to know.
Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath Yahweh chosen this." Then Jesse made Shema passed by, and he said, "Neither hath Yahweh chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Yahweh hath not chosen thee." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him now in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look on. And Yahweh said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he."
For this is he, the youngest that nobody expected, the one that was keeping the sheep, the one nobody was even paying no attention to the extent they didn't even call him to the sacrifice. But yet, that was the one that Yahweh had chosen. And today, Yahweh has chosen one. And Yahweh will let us know who that might be. And let me show you what will happen as a result of Yahweh sending servant to deliver his people in the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter. Last day prophecy. Prophecy number 3. Genesis 49, the 8th verse.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise.
Your brother's going to praise you, Yehuda. And why would that happen?
Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Yehuda is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son. Thou art gone up, he stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Yeah, Yahweh said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Why? Because he is their one shepherd. Who else you going to gather to? Who else you going to follow? And he is your leader. And he is your commander. And he is the witness of the people. Who else? And he is your king. And he is your prince. Who else has Yahweh provided that you might be delivered? This is Yahweh's servant. This is Yahweh's servant whom he raised up. His name is David, which is the third prophecy that Israel should be considering and should be concerning themselves with. And until tomorrow, because we will bring the fourth prophecy to you. Yahweh love you. And so do I. Shalom.
For Tribe Entertainment. Driving into